Turn your Bibles, if you please, to Galatians chapter 6, and I wait for you at verse number 15. Our text will be Galatians chapter 6, verses 15 and 16. And the Bible reads as follows: "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God." We want to address the subject tonight entitled "The Israel of God." The Israel of God. 4 points in the lesson will be yours. And I want to deal with this in terms of typology. And typology is sort of a shadow or prefigure of things to come. It's something in the Old Testament that represents or points to something in the New Testament. Typology one, I want you to see how Egyptian bondage contrasts with man's bondage. That's the first contrast. Typology two will be a comparison. I want you to see how Moses led Egypt out of bondage or Egyptian slavery. And I want you to see how God sent Jesus to lead man out of sin. Egyptian, the contrast, typology one, Egyptian bondage and man's bondage. Egyptian bondage is a symbolization of man's bondage. Typology two, a comparison. God sending Moses to lead Egypt out of slavery points to God sending Jesus to lead man out of sin. Typology three is about the church in the wilderness and the church today. Typology four will show how Moses was with the Israelites until the Jordan, just like Christ will be with us until the river of death. And we won't be long. The Israel of God. Peace and mercy are pronounced on those who are governed by the rule of God. The context makes it clear. The identification of the Israel of God as being the church of our Lord. I said the Israel of God is truly the church of our Lord. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29, Paul says, "And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Now, God has always had his people, and he still does. And because Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope." I want to compare and contrast the Old Testament with the New Testament. I want to use some typology to demonstrate that the church of Christ today is truly the Israel of God. Again, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 15 and 16, the Bible says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. Now, number one typology, let's look at Israel bondage in Egypt and man's bondage in sin. Now, we have all studied the account of Joseph in Genesis chapters 42 through chapter 50. However, a different attitude is seen as we come into the book of Exodus, especially Exodus chapter 1 and verse number 8. The Bible says that there arose up, in Exodus 1 and verse 8, there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. Now understand that Israel drifted into slavery. While Joseph was alive, they could have left Egypt at any time. But they lingered too long in the land of Egypt. But now, here's the typology. As Israel voluntarily accepted bondage in Egypt, so did we voluntarily serve Satan in sin. You all get the picture? In Romans chapter 6 and verse 16, the Bible says, "Know you not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." Now, sometimes we even savor the sinfulness that Satan serves us. Sometimes we like it. Sometimes we enjoy it. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 17 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And this is not of the Father, but is of the world." It is nothing but of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You see, the Bible says the world is going to pass away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God will abide forever. Now, man, of course, has a free will to either obey or disobey God. And that was true under the Old Testament. And it's true today. You see, in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, Joshua says, "If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whom land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." Church, according to Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, sin always, I said it always, separates man from God. Typology number two, typology on comparison. Number two, God sent Moses to lead Israel out of Egyptian bondage. And he sent Jesus to lead us out of sin. Moses was born amidst a bleak and black background. Hebrew babies were being put to death. Yet this babe was preserved in a miraculous manner. Moses was preserved. God had chosen Moses to deliver Israel, the Israel of God, from Egyptian captivity. God then commissioned Moses to lead his people out of Egyptian bondage. In Exodus chapter 3 and verse 8, God said, "I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians." and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and a large land, unto a land that's flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. And now, from the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3, Moses went back down to Egypt land and was given power to perform miracles, signs, and wonders. This was kind of like God's 10-lesson correspondence course, those 10 commandments. But the typology is that just like Moses, get this, Christ Jesus was born amidst a bleak and black background as babes were being put to death. But Jesus, too, was preserved in a miraculous manner. And God wanted him to deliver the Israel of God from the bondage of sin. So God commissioned him to lead his people out of spiritual captivity. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "But God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ did what? He died for us while we were sinners." You see, Jesus had power to perform miracles, wonders, and signs, according to Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. Jesus also, according to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 13, had all authority from God in heaven and on earth. Typology number 3. Now, the third typology I want to make is between the church in the wilderness and the church today. The church in the wilderness and the church today. You see, to enter the church in the wilderness or the church in the wandering required an obedient faith. The Israel of God had to turn from Egypt, march for 3 days to the Red Sea, and right at the water's edge, they still were not delivered, nor were they saved. They had to be baptized in the name of their God, He sent a deliverer. They had to be baptized, and the name of their God sent deliverer. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 and 2 says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized," what? "Unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea." And recall, they did not sing the song of deliverance until after they had marched through the Red Sea on dry land. Now, get my point here. They were immersed under the cloud, and waters were on both sides. The Israel of God was not delivered from Egyptian captivity until they were safe on the other side of the Red Sea. Now, is there a parallel here? Can you see it? That's a snapshot. Let us see the lesson of the sea. Now, to enter the church of our Lord today requires an obedient faith as well. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says, "We, like Israel of old, must be willing to repent." That is, we got to march away from sin. Acts 17 and verse 30. "But right at the water edge, we are still not yet delivered. We must be baptized in the name of our God sent deliverer, Jesus Christ," according to John chapter 3 and verse 16. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall have eternal life, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We must believe that Jesus was sent by God, according to John chapter 3 and verse 2. We must believe that faith alone, however, would not suffice. Acts 3:19, Acts 2:38. Acts 3:19 says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. We are not delivered from the consequences of sin until after we have been baptized into Jesus Christ. It's then and only then is there cause for rejoicing, according to Acts chapter 8 and verse 39. Now, last but not least, fourthly, Moses was with the Israelites until the Jordan. Christ will be with us all the way until the river of death. You see, after the Israelites had crossed the Red Sea, they stood as a liberated people, the Israel of God. And then God provided for all of their needs for 40 years. Many of them wanted to go directly to the land of milk and honey, directly to the promised land, directly to the land of Canaan. But it's not in man that walketh, according to Jeremiah 10:23, to direct his own steps. We have to be directed by the Lord. The church in the wilderness was not a rose garden. It was far from it. And you know, just like me, that most of our congregations are not a rose garden. You see, you got to deal with issues. And whenever you're dealing with people, you're going to have some people problems. But after we come out of the waters of baptism, we stand liberated, free, and saved in Jesus Christ. Some people seem to want to sit and just wait for heaven. But Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 says, until death, until the end, and then you'll receive a crown to life. There are some things we got to work out right here on this time side of eternity. And then we'll receive a crown to life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 lets us know that we are to live a new life. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4 says we are to walk in the newness of life. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2 says think on things that are above. Why, preacher? Because there are many who are of the Israel of God that have lost their inheritance in the church, in the wilderness, and many people will lose their souls today that are not in the church of Christ. Simply crossing the Red Sea did not guarantee the Israelites the land of promise. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 and 6 says, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our example. They were overthrown in the wilderness, and the Bible says these things were our example, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Disobedience brought disaster. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 8 says, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day, 23,000 died in one day. What if God should punish all today who were guilty of sin? You know, of 605,000 and 300 Israelite people who over who were over 20 years of age, who left the land of Egypt for Canaan, only two of them entered the promised land. Man can fall. 1 Corinthians 10:11-12 says, now all these things happen unto them for example, for our examples, and they are written for our admonition upon the ends of the world has come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. So then, just because one is baptized does not assure you heaven. Just because you've been baptized, that don't mean you're going to make it to heaven. The scripture says that man can fall from grace, from the grace of God. Hebrews 3:12 says, we must be of the Israel of God. Romans 3:28-29 says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. You see, according to verse 29, the question is asked, is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. We must realize that the church today is not physical. Rather, this Israel of God is spiritual. Romans 9:6 says, not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Galatians 3:28-29 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, male or female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, bondage and sin is worse than bondage was in Egyptian slavery. The Red Sea stood between the Israelites and freedom then, just like baptism stands between the sinner and salvation today. To enter the church in the wilderness did not guarantee an entrance into the promised land. Being a member of Christ's church today does not guarantee you heaven. But only those who were in the church in the wilderness, however, had any hope of reaching the land of milk and honey. Likewise, only those in the Lord's church have the hope of heaven as the home of the soul. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:6, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Hebrews 11:10 says, for he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. We are the true Israel of God and should bow down to God in the context of his will. Remember that, teach that, and let's win souls for the cause of Christ. Let us together stand and give God glory and praise.
Selection 9. God sent his son.